their town. The Apostle Paul, when he'd go to a new city, he would not go down and check out the Hilton. He'd go down and check out the local jail, because he knew if he preached as God had called him to, that's where he'd spend the night.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. We'd love to entertain your question, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue today. We're asking the question, the issue today, will America face another pandemic? Or should I say another plandemic? Because all that we're seeing as the COVID onion is being unpeeled, we're witnessing more and more of what was an absolute cover-up with all that took place with the COVID scare, the lockdowns, the number of people that committed suicide because of losing everything, churches locked down, Christians, conservatives, and patriots bowing to the government to mandate that it shut down. I find it fascinating and sad that the houses of prostitution, the liquor stores, the massage parlors, big box stores were considered to be essential, and yet churches were not, and therefore churches were mandated to shut down. Most pastors simply bowed to the mandate to shut the church.
On top of that, Pastor, the Black Lives Matter protests were allowed to occur.
Yes.
So how could the virus know not to jump from person to person during those protests, but know to do it if you needed to go visit someone in the hospital or go to the funeral of a loved one?
Mm-hmm.
So the principle behind the whole thing was absolutely absurd, and yet the public allowed it. That's
yes.
What I don't understand about it.
That's the reason I'm passionate about what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
I believe there needs to be information, and I believe our listeners need to understand what has happened can be replayed, and based on my documents that I have before me today, it's being prepared now to be replayed, in my opinion, as early as this fall, with a new pandemic that would be before us. But I'm looking at a headline, Dr. Sheftall, giving us the big middle finger. Watch the CIA go to war with Congress at COVID cover-up hearings. And it's in one of the hearings where they're investigating the Central Intelligence Agencies and the secretive American Department, best known for the clandestine spying and stealing secrets, emerged from the shadowy Wednesday for fiercely objecting to one of its agents blowing the whistle to Congress about the massive cover-up involving the origins of COVID-19. And it goes on to talk about this taking place. This says, in fact, this article reads, "That's not a political theater," Senator Johnson says. "I have years and years and years and years built up the frustration of agencies like the CIA and the Justice Department, the FBI, and the Health and Human Services snubbing their nose at the oversight that's supposed to be given by the House and the Senate. There's the mindset somehow, some way that these organizations, and they were involved in the cover-up, I'm not just the origins, according to Senator Ron Johnson's intelligence committees, not just the origin of COVID, but all that were involved in COVID. And as a result of that, look at the pain and the death and the problems caused in America. But let's make a leap forward. There's a real scare today that's being promulgated. In some cases, there's an intentional sense of playing it down. But yet at the same time, it's building the case, I believe, for an Ebola scare. I'm looking at a headline, Dr. Shaftal, and then I want you to run with it. Ebola scare. Lockdowns for another city. A 37-year-old man returning from Dominican Republic, Congo, is now isolated in San Paulo Hospital under Ebola suspicion. San Paulo health authorities isolated a man, one person, with fever and recent travel to the Congo, where the active Ebola outbreak has surpassed 1,000 suspected infections and 240 deaths. The article goes on and on and on about the Ebola outbreak. Now, here's my problem and my question, Dr. Shaftal. Ebola is spreading all over parts of Africa, as we understand it. The media is covering that with a great hype. There's another element to that, as I have read, another disease that could be playing, not Ebola, because they have the same symptoms. And yet we have the Olympics 2026, partially played out in America, that we're having the Olympian teams from that part of the world, that meaning where Ebola has broken out, coming to America. Is it possible that our global planners are going to use that as the platform to bring about the origin of an Ebola scare for America?
You mean another pandemic?
Another pandemic.
No, it's not possible with Ebola. Mm-hmm. Ebola is transmitted only if you come in contact with the body fluids of the affected victim. Mm-hmm. In other words, if someone has Ebola, is all you have to do to not get it is don't touch them or their body fluids. It's different than the SARS-CoV-2 supposed pandemic, mm-hmm. because that was a respiratory disease that was transmitted by aerosols, tiny particles that you can't see that float in the air for 2 days when somebody exhales. Then you can breathe it in. That's how it can spread quickly. But Ebola can't spread from person to person unless you literally touch their body fluids. So there's no way that Ebola could cause a pandemic.
I'm reading an article, Dr. Shaftal, and you can enlighten me on it, where it says the symptoms of Ebola, headache, fever, et cetera, fatigue, et cetera, yeah. are the same as with meningitis, bacterial sepsis, malaria, and other illnesses common for travelers.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yes, it is. But Ebola is fulminate. It overwhelms the victim. Mm-hmm. You can't come in and compete in the Olympics if you have Ebola. So don't worry that anyone that's infected with Ebola is going to come over here, compete in the Olympics, and spread it to someone in America. That's not going to happen.
Well,
because when you have Ebola, you're on your back and you're on death's door the whole time you're trying to recover from it. It has at least a 50% mortality rate, meaning half the people that get it die, which is a horrible mortality rate. That's almost unheard of. I think Marburg has a mortality rate on the same level. And, of course, hantavirus, the one that's in the desert southwest, four corners of the United States, mm-hmm. where four states come together in one point, that hantavirus has a mortality rate of 40%. And, of course, smallpox had a mortality rate of 40%, supposedly.
So, based on what I have found in relationship to those having been involved, I find an article that's fascinating. Dr. Fauci's warm relationship with intel community exposed. I found out that all of the intel organizational structure, before they would make any announcement, before they would come to any position, they would call Sir Anthony Fauci and sit with him. Here's just a portion. According to the declassified documents released by Senator Rand Paul on Thursday, that's this past Thursday, revealed an unprecedented detail Fauci's influence over the entire U.S. intelligence community as the government's top biodefense official, and how this influence, listen, distorted the public's understanding of most of the consequential pandemic relationship in America.
Absolutely.
So what is that telling us?
Well, Fauci was involved in every aspect of COVID and HIV, by the way, as you may remember.
Yes.
Which was also diagnosed with a fake PCR test.
Yes.
But just an aside about medicine. Medicine is very complex and complicated. And the people at the CIA who are not doctors, which is virtually all of them, they just don't understand any of it. Like laymen just don't understand how complex the human body is, the medical aspects of the human body. So they needed a person to advise them and explain things to them. And of course it was Fauci who they chose. And he explained to them what he wanted to say to them, you know? He misled them to the hilt, I'm sure. But there's no way that a huge fraud like COVID could occur without the CIA being very cognizant of it and know all about what was going on.
They knew about what was going on. They knew they knew the players involved.
Yeah, they wouldn't. Something like that wouldn't go on without the CIA knowing all about it.
Absolutely.
And in the last chapter of my book, Volume 1 of Sanctioned, The COVID Murders, I make a very strong case that it's the Rockefeller interests that actually were behind the COVID fiasco.
And explain that to our listeners.
Well, if you go back in history, and it's very interesting when you do this, because I actually didn't know this before, but John Rockefeller realized that most medicines, most pharmaceuticals are made from petroleum. So he saw it as another opportunity to sell his oil.
Mm-hmm.
And he got involved in the whole medical education system and the AMA and all that stuff way back in the early 1900s. When he was the richest person in the world. He financed the University of Chicago Medical School. He discouraged grants being given to naturopathic medical schools. Anything that didn't teach allopathic medicine pretty much was unable to get financial support to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And allopathic medicine is what I was trained in. That's MD medicine, medical doctor medicine. Mm-hmm. And you see all these other initials by people's names like ND, naturopathic doctor, osteopathic doctor, DO, doctor of osteopathy, in other words. And you see those people in mainstream medical delivery now. So they've come a long way. But John D. Rockefeller, he controlled medical delivery and pharmaceuticals and everything at the very beginning. So that has to be taken into consideration when you think about who was behind all of this. And he was a very conservative person, as you may remember, but he was doing it because he wanted to sell more petroleum products. But his children, David and Nelson and the other Rockefeller offspring, are extremely liberal, as you may well know.
I'm reading an article, Dr. Scheftel. Virtual or viral influencer. How Bill Gates' billions of dollars shape the U.S. medical research program.
Yeah, Gates is similar to John D. Rockefeller in a lot of ways.
Yes.
And he has taken up the bit of what John D. Rockefeller started with, trying to control medical care and grants to research institutions and so forth. And the biggest donor to the WHO is Bill Gates.
Bill Gates, that's right.
You know?
And
Bill
he is Gates, a eugenicist.
Okay. And Bill Gates donated $10 million to the New England Journal of Medicine, and they allowed him to write an opinion piece about COVID at the beginning, saying this is the big pandemic we'd all been worried about since 1900. Of course, it was nothing of the kind. So that he basically bought his access to the New England Journal of Medicine, which used to be one of our most
prestigious
medical journals. That, JAMA, and The Lancet were the three most prestigious medical journals in the world. But, you know, the New England Journal of Medicine has gone way down in the eyes of the doctors, because they were publishing articles about COVID at the beginning that didn't even have peer review. You know, that were submitted on Thursday and published on Friday.
In particular, The Lancet
The
Lancet was found guilty of
The Lancet was horrible.
Absolutely.
They had a flaming liberal editor. Who is gone now, I think. But, you know, they've destroyed their reputation, too. Those journals are just, I hate to say it, use a dirty word, but they're paid prostitutes for the pharmaceutical industry.
I'm looking at one of the paragraphs in this large article. On the eve of Gates' private testimony with Congress schedule, a trove of federal whistleblowers' documents provided by Real Clear Investigations is renewing questions about how Gates' money has bought what critics complain is an untoward influence on government health policy. For almost a quarter century, his main vehicle of power, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, has donated, as you said a moment ago, hundreds of millions of dollars to the National Institute of Health, NIH, allowing Gates to reshape the direction of the country's health strategies in ways that have benefited his own priorities, his own pet causes, and his own polishing of his image as a benevolent global do-gooder. At the time of growing concerns about the power of billionaires such as Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and Sam Altman, Gates' efforts stand out. Instead of lobbying federal agencies for specific policies, Gates has leveraged his wealth to work inside government, inside as partnering with the high-ranking NIH officials to steer, S-T-E-E-R, that's to guide, taxpayer research funding and design all scientific policies for several federal programs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, that's scary to me.
Well, it's terrible, because Gates has a very limited amount of medical knowledge. It's clear when he talks. However, the layman doesn't understand that, and the mainstream media is sitting there interviewing him about COVID every morning on the morning talk shows. When he didn't know anything. What the heck are they doing interviewing a layman about a very complex medical fraud? But, Pastor, also, you may not know this, or you may know it. I hope the audience knows it a little bit, because it's going to come to a shock. But, you know, Gates wasn't doing all this stuff because of eugenics and other things that is part of it, certainly. But he made a lot of money on vaccines.
Yes.
Becky Quick from CNBC interviewed him at Davos once, and he admitted that he'd made 20 times the amount that he'd invested in vaccines back. In other words, it's been a windfall of money for him.
In fact, Gates is on
in medical,
Gates
is
on video
policy.
Record in, back as far as 2012 and 2015 in conferences about how can we develop a virus that will help us introduce the big farmers' vaccines as a fast track, quick fix.
And also, as I've mentioned several times on your show, on August 30th, of 2019, he bought shares in BioNTech, which, as everyone knows, it was Pfizer/BioNTech that distributed the vaccines. But he bought shares in BioNTech 3 months before the virus was even discovered, according to the mainstream narrative. Now, how did he know that this virus was going to be discovered and he was going to make huge profit on his investment with BioNTech? Well, he knew from the beginning. It was all planned. He was in the inner circle, I believe, of the people that were planning it. That's why he just went and bought a bunch of BioNTech stock and cleaned up when he sold it. Went up 10 times in 1 year.
Dr. Cheftal, because of the amount of material that I have on this subject, I want to take the balance of our time and talk about the fact that in the Ukraine, according to the latest dump of over 1,000 documents, by Tulsi Gabbard, it has been proven that since Barack Hussein Obama was a senator, along with other senators, and then as Obama was president, that this was known, this was done. And when I say this, I'm talking about the fact that, as I understand it, over 19 bioweapons gain-of-function research labs in Ukraine bought, paid for, orchestrated, organized, and operated by U.S. tax dollars. What do you think that the American citizens should think of that?
Well, there's a lot more than 19 of them, and they're in a lot other places.
Oh, yes.
Other than Ukraine.
Just in Ukraine.
Ukraine is a big one.
Just in Ukraine.
But yeah, that's correct, in Ukraine. Now, they're also in Russia and all sorts of places.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you something about bioterrorism. I think the government would love to be able to come up with an organism that could kill a bunch of people in a bioterroristic fashion, you know, mm-hmm. so that they would have it as a weapon. But I'm not sure it works that way, to be honest with you. We've done all these studies now, over 100 studies, where we've tried to transmit the common cold, influenza, Spanish flu. A bunch of experiments were done on the Spanish flu. They couldn't get it to transmit from a sick person to a healthy volunteer. And they sprayed it in their nose. They injected it into their lungs. They even took blood from the sick person and put it in the healthy volunteer. And not one of the volunteers got sick in any way. So we can categorically say now that the Spanish flu did not transmit from person to person.
That's right.
Categorically.
But we were told at the time that it does.
Of course, mm-hmm. and people still say that it was.
Right.
I mean, even Trump the other day said 100 million people died from the Spanish flu. Of course, that's been reduced down to 20 million as people have actually looked at the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But the Spanish flu was caused by something other than a contagious infectious disease. That's been proven not to exist.
So my question generally is this.
Simply does not work that way.
With what we see with our lives, our health, our world being tampered with, as I would call it, played with, what could go wrong? For example, the Bill Gates Foundation, I think, is the one that just helped finance the study, the research, and the development of mosquitoes. And in the state of Florida, our state, they've just released 50 million mosquitoes that supposed to be hybrid mosquitoes designed, developed, and released to eat other mosquitoes that cause malaria and other diseases.
Oh, that's their plan?
That's their plan.
These so super what mosquitoes in the, will eat all the other ones?
Yes, so what in the world could go wrong with that?
Oh, God.
And
what happens when they mate and they get a hybrid super mosquito?
Yes,
that carries the disease.
That's the thing I'm fearful of.
The
and yet it's supposed to be for our good and for our betterment.
Oh,
and right now they're talking about the...
It sounds like mad science.
It is mad science. That's what
really.
I'm
saying. And of course the victims are the people.
The people. We the people become the petri dish for the experimentation of these mad scientists. There's one that's called the white spot on the back of a tick. What is that tick called they just started talking about on the news?
What disease do they say it causes?
I've forgotten the disease, but the point is, it's found in Texas. It's the white hammerhead tick.
Okay.
The white hammer got the little white spot, and it's supposed to be highly contagious and deadly. And listen to this. What it does, once a person is bitten by that tick, it causes your body to reject the intake of any flesh from any animal. If you eat pork, if you eat beef, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you'll get violently ill if you've been bitten by that tick. And it so happens that Bill Gates is part of the research that developed that, and Bill Gates is also the major developer of the lab-grown chicken, the lab-grown beef, the lab-grown pork. I understand in one of the articles I read, his sales are going up.
Well, he's trying to get people to stop eating cows,
mm-hmm.
regular beef.
Yeah.
And his solution for that was to make artificial beef.
Yes.
So people could still eat beef, but we wouldn't have to raise cows anymore. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if you know this, but do you know what the methane content is in the atmosphere? What percentage of the atmosphere is methane? Mm-hmm. 0.00009%. That's what a small amount of methane there is in the atmosphere. And they're talking about it being this horrible contributor to climate change.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've maybe mentioned to you before, do you know what the percentage of CO2 in the atmosphere is? That's 0.04%. It's a tiny, tiny amount of the atmosphere. And when I asked people that were protesting for climate change in California once, I pulled them over and said, wow, I really like your sign. And they said, oh, thank you. You know, it was a clever sign. But I said, do you know what the percentage of atmosphere is CO2? In other words, what percentage of the atmosphere is made up of CO2? And she said, oh, at least 25%. And it's 0.04%.
Mm.
And that's the problem, is all these people that are protesting and believe in climate change, they don't know any of the science behind it.
Al Gore said in 1975, Al Gore said in 1975 that in 1995, New York City would be underwater because of climate change.
Right, and they kept pushing the date further and further, and they finally got up to 2010 about New York flooding, being 4 feet under the water, and finally they just gave up on
Absolutely. Hold a minute, Dr. Sheftall. I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, brother, you hit the nail on the head. That was my question. Out of that science fiction documentary that Al Gore created, and all the liberals gave in awards and all of that, how many of those predictions came to pass, were through? Can you tell me? I don't know. That's my question. Thank you very much.
Jose.
How many of those
went through?
Thank you.
None of them have come true. I can jump in and answer that very quickly. When you look at the predicted based on models, you know, they do a lot of modeling, computer modeling. Based on the models, they've shown that the temperature should have gone way, way, way up by now. But then enough time has passed where they actually can measure it. And there have been 10-year periods where the temperature's gone down in the last 30 years. So their predictive ability with the models is horrible.
Absolutely.
And everyone agrees to it now.
And I would encourage our listeners today, Dr. Sheftall, to keep a close track on the thousands of documents that Tulsi Gabbard from the DNI has released. Those are uncovering the plans that I believe holds for the future of the potentiality of a grave, grave outbreak in America that will cause another pandemic in our nation.
Well, it may be blamed for a pandemic, meaning it was planned and so on. But I don't believe it works that way.
That's right.
After all the research I've done, I mean, you know, the SARS-CoV-2 wasn't spread from person to person causing a pandemic.
But
any SARS-CoV-2.
The point is the general public will bow to it, bend to
and believe
the devil's lie.
Correct.
That's the problem.
But I urge the public to please look into it next time and don't just jump right in and get a vaccine for a disease that doesn't exist.
Absolutely. Well stated for the final statement. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.